This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you by Well-Watered Women, creators of the Give Me Jesus Journal, Bible studies, verse cards, and other Bible study tools designed to equip women to know Christ fully through the Word. The team at Well-Watered Women believes that putting the Word before the world will arm women with what they need to live a life from a place of victory and abundance through Jesus. From now through December 31st, you can use the promo code RISEN10 for 10% off anything from their shop. We're so thankful for Well-Watered Women's sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, here with Laura.
Hey, guys.
And we are bringing you guys another episode from the archives. This was an interview that we did with Hannah Anderson, and it's an excellent interview all about humility and kind of knowing our limits, trusting the Lord for all of his provision and for our rest, and it's a good discussion.
Yes, this is actually one of probably my favorite interviews we've ever done. One thing that I love that we get to towards the end, so stick with it, is what I want to encourage you to do. We start having the conversation about our bodies and how, like, our scars and the mars and marks that we have on our bodies, how they can help us to remember what Christ has done for us. And what's interesting about this show is that Emily and I were like 7 and 8 months pregnant.
Yes.
This would have been 3 years ago, you know, over 3 years ago when we recorded this show, but we were both very pregnant. And definitely, I mean, anybody who gets pregnant or even any type of motherhood, it does change your it changes your body and it changes the way that you view your body. And so I just found that part of the interview incredibly encouraging when Hannah gets into that. So I'm just teasing it and telling you to stick around for it there because it's just really good.
Yeah. Before we jump in, we just want to let you know a little bit more about Hannah. Hannah Anderson lives in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. That's actually a fun theme in a lot of her speaking and writing.
Oh, yes. If you read any of her books, you'll feel like you want to move there immediately.
Yes. So she spends her days caring for her family and writing and serving in her community. And she has several books, one titled Made for More, Humble Roots, which is kind of what we're focusing on in this conversation.
Best book. Read it.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
Yes, it's good. And then another one called All That's Good.
Which also is amazing.
Also very good. As she's kind of she is a deep thinker and has really poetic way of helping you philosophize.
If we could say that word, that's what we mean.
To do that about different topics. So you can find more about her on our show notes today, but that's Hannah.
Oh, and if you're curious about what our show notes are, Emily just mentioned show notes, and I've been meaning to kind of tell you guys what they are.
Show notes, I feel like, are mysterious things that are mentioned on podcasts that I can imagine. If you're not a podcaster, you're like, huh, what?
Yes.
Those exist where?
Exactly. And show notes are essentially sort of like a blog post with all of the resources that a podcaster might mention. And actually something unique that I think we do here at Risen Motherhood is we also include a lot of additional supplemental resources because, as you guys know, with kind of a 20 to 30 minute show, we cannot cover all the whole gamut of a topic. And so what we like to do is provide places for you to go if you'd like to read more or learn more about a topic. So we do take a lot of time to curate additional resources. So we hope that you will check out the show notes. And the way that you can do that is go to risenmotherhood.com/podcast. And there you're going to see every show that we've ever done. You'll see a big old picture for each one, the album artwork there. You can click on it. And then right there, you're going to find all the show notes. Or if you're in a podcast player, perhaps you're playing it from your mobile device, in there, usually you swipe up and you just can kind of look through the show notes, or you might need to swipe left or right. So a good way to find out how your show notes work on your podcast app is to Google the name of your podcast app plus the word show notes, and real quick, a tutorial will pop up.
Yeah, those are definitely really helpful. So Anyways, we know you guys are going to love this interview today. Let's get to the show.
Well, hi, Hannah. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us on Risen Motherhood today.
Hello, I'm so glad to be here.
Of course, I have my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen, here as well. So we are both big fans of your book, as we have expressed online, offline, and I'm sure it will come out a lot here today on the show. But Humble Roots was really one of those books that just challenged our thinking a lot, and we found a lot of ways to apply it to motherhood. So we are excited to kind of pick your brain, especially about the concepts from Humble Roots that you wrote about, but really like diving into how that applies to mothers and the things that we're kind of facing these days.
Yes. And like I tell people, Humble Roots was born out of my own crises, both as a mom and a pastor's wife and trying to navigate this space with all these things I was responsible for. So it does have a unique connection to moms and women. I think that, you know, men can read it and enjoy it, but it was born out of the heart of a woman wrestling with these questions. So I'm very eager to be able to share it with you today.
Well, perfect. Yes, they're all things that we wrestle with as well. So I think just to dive right in, can you explain a little bit more about the premise of this book and how biblical humility offers mothers rest from the rat race, the feeling of needing to do it all?
Right. So the full title of the book is Humble Roots, How Humility Grounds and Nourishes Your Soul. And the concept comes from the passage in Matthew 11, where Christ calls all of us who are burdened and weary to come to him. We're heavy laden. And if that doesn't describe motherhood, I don't know what does. But Christ calls us to himself and he says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. And that word lowly is humble. He says, I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So as I was looking for scripture to soothe and calm my own spirit in the midst of restlessness and anxiety, the Holy Spirit led me to that passage. And he kind of, I don't know, maybe let me see it for the first time. Let me read it and understand, wait a minute, there's something else going on here. In this call that Christ gives us to come to him, he intends for us to become like him, to be made humble. That is what's going to bring us rest. And so then I had to step back and say, okay, wait a minute. What does humility have to do with rest, with peace? And I think some of the reason I never understood that passage before is because we have these false notions of humility. We tend to think of it as being self-deprecating or maybe focusing on our sin or maybe turning down compliments. But what humility really is for us as human beings is recognizing that we're not God. It's giving honor and attributing glory to God that he deserves and recognizing that we, while we are made to reflect his nature, we are limited human beings. And so the core concept, when my friend said that to me, he said, oh, I know what your problem is. You're not God. And I thought, yes.
Amen.
That's what humility is. A humble person knows and understands and lives in this truth, you're not God. And that truth is also freeing.
Yeah.
It frees us to rest in God himself rather than our own competencies.
Yeah. And I love, I can't remember if you say it in the introduction or in that first chapter, you'd like describe kind of your life and how you were feeling, which I think a lot of moms can relate to this type of, you know, I have a good life. You know, we have food on the table. Our family is pretty healthy and intact and things are overall going well. And so why do I feel dissatisfied or why do I feel the anxiety and the burden? And exactly like you're saying, why do I feel so heavy laden? And so I just really appreciate that connection because I think that's something we often miss is that heavy feeling is because we think it's our responsibility to accomplish everything and to always be on top of everything. And it's just a very easy trap to fall into.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I was the trap I was in was constantly thinking of all the things I had to do, all of my responsibilities and where I was failing. And not only was I failing my children and they were going to turn out, you know, need therapists when they grow up. And not only was I failing to keep the house organized and to do the laundry, mm-hmm. I also had too many clothes. What kind of good person has this much stuff? You know, all of these layers of guilt and self-accusation, and this constant feeling of never being sufficient to the things I thought, I have to keep this together. I have to make this family run. I have to raise these children to turn out well. And I have to be a good friend. And look at all these ways I'm failing. Mm-hmm. And my mind would just race with these accusations. And it would, like I said, it would go from everything to my parenting, to my ability to manage my home, to my relationships, even to my body. Mm-hmm. You know, why can't I lose this extra 10 pounds? Why can't I get myself organized to exercise and be toned and fit, you know? And so it was the anxiety and the restlessness was directly related to my belief that I had to keep all these things together, that it was dependent on me.
Wow, that is a perfect description of how most of us walk through everyday feeling. And you see all over online, it's what all of the blogs and a lot of the mommy ministries are trying to speak to, which is that desperate feeling we have that we're not doing it. We're not doing good enough. And that is so overwhelming.
Yeah. And I think that ties well into another question we kind of wanted to ask you about, especially comparison, you know, the rise of social media and all the mommy blogs. Just to kind of get down to it, what advice would you give a mom who tends to compare herself to maybe other moms, the world's standards that are ever changing, or even just like self-imposed standards?
Yeah, I think some, like you said, this feeling is fueling a lot of the mommy blogosphere, and we're offering women a lot of potential solutions that turn out to be not lasting. Mm-hmm. So we feel this way, and good people are trying to comfort women in this space and say to them, well, just embrace the messiness, just embrace the brokenness. Okay. This is just who we are and how we live. And they're honestly trying to help women overcome this culture of comparison and, you know, conflict that they're feeling internally. Or maybe they'll offer a truth of live your own life, live your own truth. You know, don't look at other people, don't listen to other people. And that's one way we'll get rid of the comparison trap. The way that humility leads us to get rid of the comparison trap, to escape this cycle of always feeling less than or looking to other women, it goes back to what humility is. And it goes back to the verse that Christ calls us to. And he says, come to me, take my yoke, learn from me. And what Christ is doing in that section is he is calling us to remember that he is God. He is the one we are to be submitted to. He is the one who leads us and guides us. And so humility rightly places us in a position to honor God's voice above these other voices. So when I am listening to other women, or I'm looking to the lives that other women are living online, and I'm comparing myself to them, I am not listening to the call of Jesus. I am listening to the call of, and these other women and these other platforms and Instagram have become God in my life. And so I am trying to make myself to look like them, to respond to them, to be submitted to this entire false paradigm. What frees us, what gives us rest, is when we humbly acknowledge that God and God alone, in Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, is Lord. And so what he is calling us to is what we are faithful to. Mm-hmm. He is calling us to our families. He is calling us to the particular challenges of our family. He is calling us to the particular challenges of our DNA and our genetic makeup. He has sovereignly ordained that we would be certain shapes and sizes. And even if those shapes and sizes don't match what culture is telling us we should be, humility draws us back to hear his voice and his voice alone, and to know that in the embrace of Christ, there is love and power and care that has uniquely crafted us the way he intends for us to be, to fulfill his purposes, not to fulfill the purposes of society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so good, because like exactly what you're saying, the comparison trap is too, when we look kind of horizontally for what we're supposed to be doing, I feel like it becomes like the law on our shoulders. And these are not bad things to do, these cultural expectations. A lot of times they're good. They can be helpful things, but they're very burdensome. And they're not always what God has called us to do in scripture. And I know when I stop and think about what has God actually asked me to do today, like this morning, you know, love my kids, worship him, you know, serve this person, that this thing he put on my calendar for the day. It's not that same burdensome feeling. It's a freeing feeling. And it's born out of love. Whereas if I look online and start to see, oh, somebody's home looks this really nice way, and then I start getting stressed about my home and I put that on myself, that's where like those burdens start to come in that the Lord didn't even really give me for that morning, you know? So I really appreciate how you said that, and it's a timely message.
Well, and just to jump ahead to another big comparison part is body image. And you have a chapter about that in the book that I really like. As most of our listeners are moms, we're dealing with the whole postpartum bodies, and it can be really difficult to adjust to the reality of this is my new body. So, you know, even when it's been years since we've had a kid, as you said, you know, sometimes you're like, I cannot lose this last 10 pounds. What is wrong? So how does humility specifically kind of apply to postpartum body image, and how does it change the way we view ourselves?
Well, again, we have to go back to this definition of humility as recognizing and honoring the difference between God as God and our identity as created, limited creatures who are dependent on him. And if we have that frame and we move to talk about our bodies, it's amazing to realize that one of the very things that defines the difference between us and a transcendent God is our physical body. You know, one of the catechisms that children often learn is, you know, God does not have a body. You know, God is a spirit. He does not have a body. And so even living within the boundaries of this physical flesh and bone is a limitation to begin with. And so our bodies are a first reminder that we are not God. And we fight this. We fight this all the time, whether, you know, we are skimping on sleep, or we're skimping on food, or we're skimping on exercise. We're essentially saying, I don't have to live within the boundaries of my physical body. I can live beyond them. And so the first thing that humility teaches us about our body is that it has been given to us to remind us of our limits. It is a walking 24/7 reminder that we are not God. But Christ, when he entered human flesh, he also elevated and honored it. And so there is no shame in our bodies. Now we feel the shame because we feel the limitations, and we press against those limitations, and we look at our body and we feel them decaying and we feel them breaking down, and we are quite frankly embarrassed by them. We are ashamed of them in ways that God is not ashamed of them. Jesus Christ was not ashamed to carry human flesh. And I find it fascinating that when he was raised from the dead, he was not ashamed to have marred flesh. He was not ashamed to carry the marks of love and sacrifice in his body. And again, this goes back to, who are we listening to about our bodies? Jesus Christ is saying, your body is valuable and honoring and has been given to you to remind you of your limits, but also to make you dependent. It has been given to you to serve in sacrifice, and it's going to carry marks. And that's what Christ is telling us about our body. The world is telling us your body is given to you to be a goddess. You are to transcend normal human limits. You are to look like Aphrodite. You are to look like, you know, all of these goddesses of the ancient world. And so we have this at root, there is essential conflict of who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to culture around us that tells us a broken, limited body is a shameful thing? Or are we going to listen to the voice of Christ who says, come to me. I've got the same kind of body. And mine's just as messed up as yours is. Not what the world is saying is beautiful, but I honor and value and love the things that the world does not love. And so I think humility frees us again, like you said, takes that burden off. When we're seeing our bodies the way God sees them, we don't feel the weight that the world is putting on us for our bodies.
That's a soothing word, I hope, to every mom listening who has a stretch mark or disappointment. I know Laura and I are both, 7-8 months pregnant as we're recording this right now. Is that right, Laura?
Yeah.
And that is a daily battle to say, who am I going to listen to about my body and what it's for and whether or not I'm going to be ashamed of that purpose. And I have never heard that comparison before.
Yeah, I love how you talk about Jesus Christ came back with a marred body, because that is truly after postpartum. I think all of us find that no matter how hard we work, there's still something happening that feels marred. And, you know, we're not the teenager, we're not the 18-year-old anymore. And it's a lot more effort and work, and that he was not ashamed of that. And I just think about how often that happens for me, whether or not I feel like I'm out there going to go work out, or I'm going to put on this special cream to get rid of it or whatever. But in my mind, I'm very ashamed of things on my body that actually mark something beautiful. They mark new life and a gift that the Lord has given me in my children. And instead of being grateful for the way that they show the sacrifice that I gave for my kids, or like I said, the gift that God has given me, I can be so ashamed of them and not recognize them, I think, for what they are.
And I think this has great potential for us to teach our children and even our daughters to honor what their bodies are and will be. Because if you think about Christ coming back with wounds in his hands, it is those very wounds that he used to convince Thomas of his love and to draw him to himself. And so in many ways, you know, whether it's we're coming up on swimsuit season or we're going to be outside more, and, you know, we can't wear jeans and sweaters all the time anymore, which I love. I know. And, you know, and we're going to be exposed. And yet it's these very things that can be a connection, especially with our daughters, to say, hey, this is where I carried you. This space, this, you know, not that you're exposing all of these places, but in context of our children learning to not, our daughters not hearing self condemning messages about bodies, but celebrating and honoring the same way Jesus said, come touch my hands, come see it and believe that this was a good, valuable sacrifice. I am here. I did this for you. You know, we're carrying those same, a parallel kind of mark of sacrifice and love. And our children need to see that love embodied in us rather than us shamefully covering and self condemning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A huge, a huge lesson for all of us. I think that that's one of those I just need to keep chewing on and just appreciate you saying. But switching gears here just a little bit to a little bit of a different topic, I think two things that we hear from a lot from our listeners is, one, let's say there's a mom, she's just wrestling with a lot of different desires and callings. She still wants to be with her children a lot while they're young, but feels a bit dissatisfied or unsettled. So how does humility really impact kind of the decision of, does this mean that I need to do something more? You know, you can often feel like, oh, I need to start a business or do all these cool things. Again, what is online world, the impact that it seems to have on what we feel we need to do. So how does humility kind of allow a mom to discern, I'm doing enough in this season and this is sufficient, or, hey, this is a real calling that I need to maybe pursue?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, humility is establishing that channel where we acknowledge God's lordship in our life and we submit to his plans for us. And so instead of looking at what other women are doing, either more or less, we have to align our priorities and our sense of vocation with what God seems to be revealing for the calling of our life at that point. So humility, the first thing it does in relationship to how we spend our days and our hours is it sets up the channel of communication to be coming from God and the Holy Spirit, and to be, that being revealed in context of the people closest to us in our family, our spouse, trusted friends, trusted community in the church. So rather than feeling this pressure from voices that are in no way attached to us and have no invested interest in the well-being of our calling or our vacation or our family. So we set up this channel of communication. Humility places us to hear God's voice, but it also compels us to obey. And some seasons that obedience will be not doing extra things. And in some season, the obedience will be stepping outside of our comfort zone, not because we have determined we need this for ourselves, but because God is calling us. And that word vocation, when we think of how we spend our time and our days as moms, or if there's extra things we feel like we need to do, vocation is rooted in the word for vocal, or that V-O-C-A. It means a call. So it's something outside of us. It is not something, it's not an internal pressure where I just think I need to be doing more, or I'm feeling, it is a call of the Holy Spirit pulling us in a direction and in a movement toward his purposes in the kingdom. And as long as we are obeying that, it doesn't really matter what we accomplish or don't accomplish in terms of the world's or even the church's views, because sometimes the church is just as puts just as much pressure on young women to be doing it all, raise your kids and be involved in church and teach Sunday school and work in the nursery and do all of these things. Mm-hmm. So prioritizing the voice of the Lord gives us the ability to say no when we need to say no, but it also gives us the freedom to say yes when we are. And one of the things I started writing when my youngest was two, my daughter was probably six or seven. My oldest was daughter who's six or seven. I had a son who is maybe five, and my youngest was two. And I had this process of a couple months of just wrestling with this sense of God calling me out into some more spaces and slowly taking the steps toward that. But interestingly, it was not in opposition to my motherhood. And I think that's one way you can discern whether a call is truly from God, is if it is from God, it will merge with the other calls that you have already. So for me, moving into spaces of writing became about letting my daughter see a mother who obeyed God's voice. There was a very definable sense for me that I needed to model for her what a Christian woman does. And when God calls, a Christian woman follows. And so it wasn't this paradigm of I'm unsatisfied at home, I need more. It was out of my mothering and out of my relationship with God, He is calling me into something that's a little bit different than just the domestic work of home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was, I think, one of the most powerful parts of your book for me. And I know Laura and I have had lots of discussions about this. I can remember sitting in the bathtub and reading this page, and you said something about agreeing with God about who He created you to be. And I remember like closing the book and thinking, okay, I'm gonna have to think about that one for a few weeks, because just like you said, really wrestling with this image I had created in my mind. I don't necessarily think it came from the Lord. It was just like Christian culture, you know, this is the kind of mom I want to be, and this is how much I want to provide care for my kids, and this is how I want to keep my home. And so striving for that, and then seeing the conflict with a calling that God had also placed on my life, and going, well, if I follow that calling, like, I'm going to have to break a little bit this image that I have of who I think I need to be as a mom. And so it's just been a really beautiful process of saying, you know, what God is calling me to in my motherhood and what God might be calling me to in terms of ministry are not in conflict. He's really provided everything I need to be able to, in small ways, do both well and accept also limitations to say no where I need to. And so I just love that idea of, instead of trying to fight the calling or to fight maybe even the season of life, to say, no, this is what God has ordained for me. And it's okay if it doesn't look like my idea of what it should look like.
I still regularly get angry with God for making me the way He made me. Mm. My ideal woman is not who I think I am. So I think, I wish, why can't I just be the mom who always has everything together, and she doesn't have these extra things she's doing because she's so invested here, and she's, you know, she's making cookies and she's quiet and she's, you know, she's a nest fluffer, you know, she's very nice. Why do my kids, when they know me and they make their true story, they made like a Mother's Day list of why they love mom. And one of the things was, because you teach us common sense and ethics. And wow. I'm like, why is that the woman I am? And it has been years of just submitting. Submitting to God's sovereignty, submitting to the Holy Spirit's transforming my heart, my willfulness of saying, no, I'm going to be this kind of woman that I have decided is more godly, or I have decided is who I should be. And God just slowly humbling me, saying, no, I had a plan. Let's work the plan. Let's work the plan.
Yeah. Even as I read your book, like, I love like all the gardening references. And in my mind, I'm like a gardener and I've got chickens in the back and I'm like really hardy. And Laura's probably smiling, laughing right now. Yeah. She's like exactly the opposite. I'm like the girl holding the mug that says, I love not camping. and it's like, okay, like that's, you know, it's okay if those are not my real life passions. We all have those things. Yes.
Well, and ultimately, I think, again, you hit about on this in the book, but really digging into who God has made us and not trying to be someone else allows us to use our resources so much better and to be so much more effective for the kingdom. I think once we stop kind of trying to split ourselves in two, ultimately, I have found, again, we keep talking about humility bringing freedom, but I have found so much freedom in just feeling like, wow, I like actually can keep up with some of these things that I feel like God is calling me to. Like, I'm not to say that it's super easy, but like some of that tension just finally releases when I fully give in to, as you said, God's plan. Like, let's work the plan, you know, and don't keep looking to the left. Don't look to the right, you know, stay the course. And I think that that has freed me to be able to do certain things even if they are an act of obedience, like something I was thinking about, you know, this isn't a vocation, but a calling towards adoption or for our family, you know, or maybe I think about a mom with foster care or some sort of other ministry piece of, you know, really like releasing all of those other things that strap us down that we expect ourselves to be able to do allows us to like fully invest and to dive deep into one or two areas really, really well, maximizing the gifts and talents and abilities that God's given us. So it's, mm-hmm. it's really freeing when we finally let go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the call to humility, when Christ calls us in Matthew 11, it is come to me. It is come, give me your singular focus. Mm-hmm. And I think half of the struggle to cultivate humility in our life and to reach this place of rest that Christ promises is we're in that process of coming. We're in the process of leaving all of our other expectations and all of the other things that we have been pursuing or looking to give us satisfaction and rest. And it is this lifelong journey of coming and giving him that singular attention, and then allowing that to guide the choices we make and it being okay because we've shut out these other voices and we've been able to say, I am single-heartedly coming to Christ. I am submitting myself to his lordship, even if that doesn't look like what I think it should look like, even if I, my vision for my life is quote unquote more godly than what I think Christ is calling me to. Mm-hmm. It is the difference between being committed to Christ and being surrendered to Christ. And I think a lot of the times our good works and our good commitment to good things actually hinder us from that full humility, that full surrender, which is what ultimately brings us rest and frees us from this cycle of anxiety.
Amen, Hannah. We had like a whole bunch more questions for you. I feel like we could talk forever, but we are hitting our time limit. So we just want to thank you so much for being on the show. And listeners, as we've said repeatedly, if you want more of this kind of information, of this kind of stuff, if you want to learn more about humility and really feel freedom from comparison, anxiety, the rat race of life, please check out Hannah's book, Humble Roots. It's incredible. And thanks again, Hannah, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, before you go, don't forget that we actually have a whole book on the gospel and motherhood. It's called Risen Motherhood, Gospel Hope for Everyday Moments, and it's available anywhere books are sold. You can check it out in Kindle, audiobook, or just a good old-fashioned hardcover format. We'd love for you to get one today.